love category. Mm-hmm. Okay, so any of those terms apply. That would be the holy relationship. The unholy relationship is the relationship where I'm trying to manipulate you through anger and guilt to fulfill a need that I think I have because I don't feel whole within myself. So therefore, I got all these scripts for you. I got all these demands for you. I'm afraid of losing you, so I'm jealous and I'm insecure. All that's the special relationship. Now, I could take that same relationship and go, I'm ready to experience love. I've made a new decision that I'm ready to have peace in my life and I'm ready to love myself. Now, I'm still in that relationship with you, but now instead of me trying to manipulate you every day, I'm going more like, what would you like? What do you think? What do you feel? I want to be a means for you having more love in your life, more peace in your life. Same person. The only thing that changed was my purpose with them. And that's what made the relationship holy. What made the relationship holy was my change of mind. And if the pain still continues, and no matter how much I try to do that, the pain still continues, mm-hmm. then what is that telling me?
Leave.
It told you. It tells you you've learned as much as you could from this person at this time. And so therefore you're probably going to separate. You know you are. If it's just total agony and hell, you're going to separate. Mm-hmm. You know, only a masochist would stay in a situation that's total hell all the time and then convince themselves that by doing so they're being spiritual. There is nowhere that a loving God, there's no way that a loving God would want you to stay in a situation that brings nothing but misery to you and everybody else around you. There's got to be a way to change any situation that causes pain with God. I didn't say by yourself. And that's how, in the course, that's how we try to do it. You know, like the mother that has, you know, six children and she depends on her husband and she's miserable in the relationship and she can't see how she can leave that relationship. The reason why it looks like there's no way out, it's because she's trying to come up with a way out without God, without her guidance, without getting in touch with her real self. Because with God, there is a way out of any situation. You see what I mean? So what we call an impossible situation, the Course defines as always a situation we're trying to handle alone. So when I hear somebody say, well, you know, this is just an impossible situation. There's no way out. It's like, no. There's no way out with you trying to do it by yourself, without guidance, without insight, without connection to your spirit. You're right. There is no way out through your ego. You're right. You don't see how this person could survive, how this mother could make it. Of course, you're looking through your ego eyes. She's looking through her ego eyes. And through those ego eyes of fear, she's trapped. But you check a little further and say, ask yourself, does this mother with three children, does she meditate? Does she study? Does she pray? Does she go within? Does she have a spiritual path? Does she have a lot of faith? You see what I'm saying? If you go deeper, you usually find out that the people who believe they're in impossible situations are also people who believe they got to do it on their own.
Also, the ones who are creating it for themselves.
Oh, and that's like the last thing to tell them. That's the last thing to tell
when
a person.
I say they, I mean me.
Yeah, and it's okay. I mean, it's great to be aware of that, but it's the last thing you tell a person who's in pain, mm-hmm. deep, insane pain. Mm-hmm. You do not walk up to them and say, "You created this for yourself." You know, what they need to hear is that they're safe now, that there's help now, that there's a way out. They need to hear a safety statement before they hear a responsibility statement. Mm-hmm.
And if they don't want to hear a safety statement?
If they don't want to hear a safety statement, then you think the truth for them mm-hmm. without saying anything. Mm-hmm. It's one of the biggest myths is that the only way you can help a person is some type of verbal, physical action. And we're going to get to this in this section, but he talks about what is the role of a teacher of God with someone who doesn't recognize that they created the situation that they're in. And he says, what you do is you be a symbol of the truth by remembering the truth for them when they've forgotten, and that you don't necessarily say anything verbally. You just represent the alternative just by being there thinking differently, because some people the best you can do for them is just think differently while you're with them. Your ego is going to tell you to say something that they can get in total opposition and anger about, which takes them into further separation than they already were. So now you've gotten them more angry than they were at first. So now they're sick and they're mad. Well, first they were just sitting up there with the broke leg. Now they want to kill you on top of having the broke leg. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, and I've had people do that. That's why I stopped really telling people who were new to the truth anything about how I feel for real. Because they all make the same mistakes. They all do the same thing. Anybody that's just got into the truth and you say, I'm really feeling, you know, today I really feel sad or depressed. Well, you know you're creating that. Or why did you create that? Or you know you ought, now, you know you ought to feel, or not feel that way because you know that's just what you created. You see what I'm saying? A person who's not aware doesn't know that you don't say anything to anybody without checking in with the Holy Spirit first and asking the Holy Spirit what you should say in that situation. And in some situations, the Holy Spirit will say, be totally quiet, don't say anything. And then in some situations, Spirit might say, speak. But you always check in first. You don't just automatically come back with a metaphysical boomerang thought. You know, as I call them, you know what I'm saying? I say I'm feeling bad, and you come back, well, you know you're just creating that. Now, what did you do to create that? Did I ask you to take me through a psychoanalysis? You just asked me how I felt, and I told you how I felt. But people who don't know always do that. The more conscious a being becomes, the quieter they become, and the more they think the truth and remember the truth for you without saying anything, because they don't want to get your ego even involved. They don't even want to talk to your ego. So they just go ahead and just love you without saying anything. I could love you. I could sit up here and just have so much love for you. You would need, it'd blow your mind if you knew it. But if I walked up to you and I said, I'm in love with you. I love you. Your ego would go, who? What does he want? What does he mean? Yeah. What is his goal? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it would be much easier for me to just love you without saying anything to you, because I'm not interested in people's egos anymore. Mm-hmm. It's funny. It's great. Yeah.
So what if you just blurt out something you didn't mean to, but you did try to, you know, and mm-hmm. their ego is all upset.
Right.
And then
mm-hmm.
you've already like caused this. What do you do then?
Well, purpose is meaning. So if your purpose was to be helpful, then that was the meaning of what you said. And so you're just learning. That was your call for love. You know, and in terms of what you say to them, you check in. The same thing. You go, okay, what should I say to them in this situation? Well, your inner self might say, hey, you know, you're innocent. I love you. I apologize if something I said upset you.
Mm-hmm.
It can be just that simple. I meant to say this to be helpful, but I'm sorry if it caused you some pain. See what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, because we're practicing, mm-hmm. we're learning, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not going to always do it right. So it's so important to be gentle with yourself while you're learning to do this, because we're going to make errors while we're learning to be more loving.
And they can see it whichever way they want to see it.
They're going to do that anyway.
Right.
That's why it's more important for you to be clear about what your purpose is when you speak mm-hmm. than to be concerned about how the other person is going to react. Because you don't have any control over how they're going to react, mm-hmm. but you do have control over your purpose in what you're saying. So if you are concerned about, am I going to say this in just the right way that this person is not going to be upset, it's going to drive you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way you can predict how a person is going to react to what you say. But if you say something to somebody and you know in your heart that your purpose was to be helpful, then no matter how they react, you won't feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You won't feel guilty because you know you were not trying to hurt them. But that doesn't mean you wouldn't have compassion about their reaction, which means that you might say, well, you know, I'm sorry if it caused you pain. That was not my goal. But I certainly wouldn't feel like I tried to hurt you. You know, sometimes people get infuriated because they'll project on you that you had a harmful purpose and you really didn't have a harmful purpose. And they want you to say that you did, like you did something wrong. And it's okay to say, you know, that was not my purpose. And if it caused you pain, I regret that it caused you pain. They're still not saying I caused you pain.
Right.
You see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I regret that that caused you pain, but that was not my goal. Because I have no control. Because if I'm so afraid about how everybody's going to react, then I'll never be honest with anybody about anything, right? I'm not going to be honest about. But the easier way is what?
Do nothing.
Thank you. I'm still keep coming back to. I have seen so many situations in relationships with other people that seem to be a challenging relationship solved through silence and remembering the truth than ever trying to process it, talk it out, or get the other person to understand. I'm not saying those things don't work sometimes, but you'll find that if you start comparing the two, that you will watch more things straighten itself out when you remember the truth without saying anything than when you are trying to fix things around you. And it'll blow your mind. And that's when you realize we really must be dealing with joined minds.
Wow.
Would that be that the ego is more verbal?
Absolutely. That's why God don't say nothing. Think about it. Certainly there are beings that are on a higher level of consciousness than us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Notice that they don't say anything.
Right.
When you're sitting alone at home, you don't have a disembodied voice. Thank you, Chuck. You don't have a disembodied voice say, hey, Mary, blah, 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 blah. So I noticed that I was saying, like, wow, the invisible masters are very quiet. They don't seem to actually intrude ever. It seems like it's more of when I'm open and receptive, I can hear. But they never try to intrude. And so I said, well, maybe that's the way I'm supposed to deal with the people in my life, too. Just be silent, love them, and remember the truth. And if there's something for me to say, let the Holy Spirit make me aware of that. And then I noticed that these relationships cleared up that I had been having challenges with. So try it, because your ego is going to always try, again, it's going to tell you its behavior. It's something that you got to say. It's something you got to do. There's something you got to convince. And the spirit is saying, no, there's just something you must remember. Just remember the truth. And if there's something for you to say, I will tell you what to say. If you will ask. Most people don't ask. Most people, the court said, decide what they want and then ask. They decide, they make a decision and then they ask God. They'll make a decision and then they'll ask Spirit for another way to look at it. But they already got their own mind made up before they ask. And he says that, and unless Spirit agrees with what you decided to do, he says, then you feel angry and attacked. Because you really already had made up your mind, you need to go call them on the phone. Mm-hmm. And then you ask God, should I call them on the phone? You know what I'm saying? The truth is, you know you already made up your mind to call them on the phone. So if God says, no, don't call them on the phone, then you go, or you know what I'm saying? Then you get upset. You ask your friends, you know, your friends ask for your advice, and then it'll wrap up. Your friends ask for your advice, and then you give them your advice and they get mad. Why? Because they already had in their mind what they wanted to do before they asked your advice. And they were looking for you to say what they had already come to the conclusion of. So it really wasn't an honest question to begin with. It was a setup.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So be aware that people set you up when they ask for your advice if they've already got an idea of what they think should happen.
Mm-hmm. So give no advice.
When someone asks a question, you say, well, what do you think?
And what I would say back to them in most cases, if I'm really conscious, is, what do you think?
That's what I said.
Yeah, you would come, you would ask that question with a question. Yeah,
okay.
It would become, well, you know, I'm really upset with my husband right now, and I'm thinking about calling him, you know, then I would just say, well, what do you really feel? What do you really feel would really give you peace in that situation? Or I would say, this is what I would do, which is different from telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Because, and then usually what I tell them I would do, they're not interested in doing anyway, so don't ask me no more. So then that's the end of that problem anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because, what I would do is I wouldn't say anything. I would just see it as a call for love. Because if I'm angry, the first thing I want to do is calm down myself. So the first thing I'm going to do is not do anything until I'm more peaceful and more calm. See, but the person is ready to attack. They're not ready to hear that.
Right.
They want to attack right then. So it's either tell me what you want to do, and if it's something peaceful, I'll support it, or this is what I would do. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't take responsibility for other people's healing, because when you do, and if it don't work out, they're going to blame you. Because you know they like to blame. That's why they're mad already. You know what I'm saying? They already let you know they like to blame, because they're all mad anyway. Yeah. So
then
you're going to become the other person that they project on, rather than take responsibility for themselves. That's the way I would look at that. Yeah. So thanks for coming today, y'all. I appreciate it. And then tomorrow we'll.